Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Venue Kings. VenueKings.com. Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Monday Night Football tonight. 5:15 kickoff over on ESPN. Don't forget, after the game, you can go check out any social media channel involving KJR. That would be YouTubes, Twitters, Periscopes, etc. The Matt Michaelis Extravaganza postgame show, the only interactive postgame show for you Seahawks fans. The only one that's interactive is right there. And Slick, Hugh Millen, Jason Puckett, they'll all take you through, and I'll have all kinds of fun after the game tonight, so make sure you check that out. We started doing that stuff on Yardbird, Streambird, whatever the hell it's called.
StreamYard.
Thanks, Jackson. We started doing that in for the draft, and it's a ton of fun. If you haven't done it yet, check it out tonight. Hopefully you're celebrating a big win. All right. Elsewhere in the National Football League, we'll get to it in a second. More news coming down every second, literally seconds ago, in terms of the Ravens and the Steelers in a possible game tomorrow. And I say possible with air quotes. Gonzaga is still the number one team in college basketball. After having a nice little start to their season, we've got Pac-12 hoops later on this week, including the Huskies and the Cougs opening up conference play, believe it or not, in December. 2020. All kinds of fun, isn't it? And finally, tomorrow, Jackson, give me the scoop.
Let's go. It's going to be 6:30 broadcast, Sounders, Dallas, for a trip to go to their fourth Western Conference final game in 5 years.
And we mentioned this, if Stanford does end up needing a place to practice and hang out for a little while in the Northwest as opposed to California, isn't the stadium that the soccer team and Timbers play in, that's available, right?
Providence Park is open.
Because they're done, right?
They are eliminated.
So that stadium's wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stanford, go down there and practice. All right, that's it. I knew you'd like that one. Yeah, when you're looking for a place for Stanford to hang out, they can't be in Santa Clara. They might come up to the Northwest. I mean, you could certainly find a high school stadium, or you could just hang out in Portland and practice at Providence Park.
Ian, what's the difference between a high school stadium and Providence Park?
What, goalposts? And lines on the field. That's it.
That's right.
You just need turf. That's all you need. All right. 2 o'clock hour. We'll come up, check in with Mike Sando in just a few minutes from The Athletic, our weekly visit brought to you by Cascade Ice Water. Let me give you the latest. This story is nuts. And Seahawks tonight, we had a great breakdown with Cosell. I'm going to touch in on a couple points he had in just a couple minutes. But let me give you guys this, the latest. This is Adam Schefter a few minutes ago said that it's going to be a Wednesday game with the Steelers and the Ravens. Wednesday now. Now, Tom Pelissero, 8 minutes ago, from the NFL Network, says tomorrow's game with the Steelers remains on for now, but a move to Wednesday is being discussed, a fluid situation. Rap Sheet saying, 6 minutes ago, Ravens players had a players-only meeting recently to express serious concern about playing on Tuesday. They have been adamant about wanting a day to practice. From that meeting, says Rap Sheet, they want to play, do the Ravens. Health and safety, though, has to come first. One source in the meeting asked, quote, can't we have at least 2 days of negative tests after this outbreak before we're expected to get back on the field? Which would lead you to the Wednesday game, which then would push the next games up until probably, what, Monday and
right.
Sunday, correct? So, and I know, Jackson, that it's the, let me just hear. So the next, so the Ravens are scheduled to play the Cowboys next. That was supposed to be Thursday. They would move that one to Sunday or Monday, correct? Steelers are scheduled next week to play.
And by the way, the that would be Monday at apparently 2 o'clock, and you'd have a Monday doubleheader: Ravens,
right.
Cowboys, and then
Bills Niners.
Thank you. Yeah,
Bills Niners would be the late game. Okay, and then so the Steelers are supposed to play the Washington football team this Sunday. So, I mean, everything's affected. You mentioned in the break, play a week 18, what have you. I think they're going to try to play Wednesday, or I'm gonna tell you this. I think at some point the NFL is just gonna force the Ravens to forfeit a game. I think if they have another problem or outbreak, and I'll just tell you this is why. I think that what we saw with Denver and how penal the league is. This isn't college. It's not where, you know what. And I don't want to come across as the guy blaming somebody for getting COVID. I'm not. The Broncos screwed up. They admitted they screwed up and they made a mistake because it wasn't everyone got sick and tested or what have you. It was just the contact tracing took those guys out of the game. And if they would have been wearing masks, not caught and things like that.
Quarantine one quarterback.
You would have been fine. Instead, the NFL, think about what they did. The NFL made them play a game without the most important position in sports. Like the only thing comparable would have been if you were at the end of the NHL bubble season and both goalies, well, you had three. All three of your goalies got sick or tested positive, and you had to throw the pads on somebody that's never played goal before because you couldn't get somebody in quick enough to quarantine, you know, and all that.
Right.
That's effectively what would – and honestly, that would have gone better having a guy that hasn't played goal before. Just throw the pads on, have like your four, you know, your ninth defenseman or something. That would have gone better than what we saw in Denver yesterday. Because that was an absolute, I mean, everyone thinks that we're going to see bad quarterback play from Carson Wentz tonight. This one, what we saw in Denver, if you watch any of that game at all, like red zone, what have you, that was an absolute embarrassment to the league.
One completed pass. One. To a tight end in the flat.
Yeah. I mean, Noah Fant had the one catch, right? So, I mean, like you... And in Baltimore's case, they've already disciplined a strength and conditioning guy. I think, I don't know if they came out publicly, but that's what it was a strength and conditioning guy. I can't imagine, at some point, the NFL is just going to say, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like tough, right? Like, just too damn bad. Because it's big boy football. This isn't college where if you have an entire position group wiped out, they're just not. It's not going to be competitive, and you're just not going to do it, right? You're not going to put the kids in harm's way. It's pro football. They don't care. That's the big difference. Everyone wants to say college is pro, and you know these guys should get paid. In college, they're not going to put the kids in that position to be embarrassed and or to. I mean, Vanderbilt didn't have a kicker.
Right.
Who cares? I mean, they couldn't kick. It wouldn't matter anyway. They found a kicker from the women's soccer team. They weren't going to get close enough. It wasn't like they're going to play a 3-point game, and they didn't have a kicker or punter. That's fine. But in this case. Like, Denver doesn't have a quarterback. Screw you, you're playing.
Right.
You're playing. Well, Baltimore, moving it to Wednesday, you're putting the Steelers through no fault of their own. You're putting them in a bad position.
Or even worse than the Ravens.
Yeah, so at what point do you just say, you know what, Baltimore? You're taking an L. And it works out well, because it's affecting the same division, right?
Yeah, It would surprise me so much because on the Ravens side, absolutely, clearly.
Are you going to play Week 18 with one game?
Yes, I absolutely am, and I'm going to
with one game.
Yes, and whether it's a Thursday, Saturday, whatever, you put that Friday night football on the biggest stage, Ravens Steelers in what will likely be for potentially the number one versus number two seed, which is a bye now in the NFL versus a wild card. Do the Ravens get it? Think about on a Friday night, Ravens Steelers, wherever it's being played. How gigantic would that?
Yeah,
and how awesome
I'm in.
Would that be?
I'm in. I just think moving everybody else is like to move the rest of the playoffs back 1 week for one game. Now, if you're Baltimore right now, you're hoping somebody else gets. Let me throw this at you too, by the way, because this is how fluid things are. So remember, we're going to have college football Sunday at 6 with the Cougs, and well, that's no longer.
Oh boy.
That's no longer the case. Now they're playing at 4:30 on Sunday, the Cougs and USC. That's a 4:30 game Sunday now on FS1. Is there a soccer game that night? Why are they moving that?
So the soccer games are now on Thursday. That's going to be the other Western semi. And then they moved Sunday's West Championship from Sunday to Monday, where the Sounders could potentially be hosting, and they wouldn't want the conflict.
Okay,
with the
Seahawks. So they are going to have – so no Thursday night football.
Right.
So Big Fox is showing an MLS game on Thursday night?
Right.
Wow.
That's correct.
I mean, great for the MLS.
It's huge for Dallas and KC.
I mean, that's
Minnesota.
Huge for the league.
Yeah.
Great exposure.
Need
so that. Sounders play tomorrow.
Yes.
And their next, if they win, their next game will be next Monday.
Monday, right. That, and that's just because it was supposed to be Sunday.
We have a conference final in the MLS and two Monday Night Football games.
Oh, God.
And we've got Sunday, and we have now Sunday late afternoon NCAA football. I don't know why they just changed that game either. I'll have to look and see. Oh, my God. Hard to keep up. And the Huskies, by the way, play tomorrow at 1 o'clock. That's been confirmed as well. So, yeah, hey, here's the good news. We just bring it back to this. Here's the good news. We've got Monday Night Football tonight with the Seahawks and the Eagles. The other good news is we have sports. Because I was just talking to somebody a short time ago, and we go back to March 11th and then March 13th. Those kind of between those 2 days, that Wednesday night to Thursday morning, and by Friday everything's shut down.
Yeah.
And crazy enough, Friday the 13th of March. And we went, 2.5 months with nothing? MLS is back, came back. That tournament was awesome. They did a great job with it. It kind of just, I remember how excited we were for 6 a.m. soccer.
And two teams went out, but everything else was perfect.
And that was a funny thing. Those two teams went out. They just, the MLS just said, yeah, see ya. Thanks for coming.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
go home.
Yeah, go home. We'll talk to you if we resume the season at some point. But we went all that time without sports. Now we have sports, and now it's becoming more and more interesting how we just, I think in a sense, we're just numb to it. Okay, game change. Okay, switch it around, stuff like that. Personally, I'd rather see the game later on FS1 Sunday, and I'm not even going to count on it being at 4:30, the Cougar game in USC. Hopefully they play that game. All right, we'll come back. We'll check in with Sando in a second, and we'll get his thoughts on the game tonight. And then elsewhere in the NFL, there's a lot going on with Mike. We'll kind of take that 30,000-foot view of what's going on around the National Football League. And then don't forget, 2:35 today, Fact or Fiction. Not a great week for this show. 1-2 week. One of us was 0-2, and it wasn't Kevin. So we need to bounce back. And as Kevin said, we got to play for this 2 seed now. Looks like the morning show is going to run away with the Jackson. So I don't know how you guys are doing. I'm just trying to hold off softy.
We're the same as you. The exact same record.
But that's better than the 10-1 show, right?
That is a puke fest.
I like that term. All right, we'll come back. Sando, talking NFL next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic. Brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water. A kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
A lot to get to with Mike Sando from The Athletic. He joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline ahead of Monday Night Football, which I'm going to get his thoughts on in a minute later on in this segment. First of all, Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you, Ian?
I'm hanging in there. We'll talk a little Monday Night Football and the Eagles and the Seahawks at the end of the segment. I want to start, though. We were just talking about this a minute ago, and you wrote something I thought was interesting that, the NFL doesn't usually let its teams get, quote, embarrassed. But I mentioned this a second ago, and as we look in the latest news, it could be that we may have a Wednesday football game this week with the Ravens and Steelers. We're still waiting to get confirmation that may or may not happen. The Ravens having all kinds of issues. No one's had more of an embarrassing issue than the quarterback room of the Denver Broncos, and at least one NFL, employee from another team was adamant about how that should never have happened this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't really see the league saying much, right? You really have to remember that the league answers to the owners, and those owners are really rich guys who don't like people embarrassing them. But interestingly, one of the front office VPs of the New York Giants, Pat Hamlin, I can't even read all of this on the radio, actually.
No, you can't.
if true, no way to defend that blank. We have the most effective protocols, testing, tracing, spacing, masking. You can imagine blatant disregard for all that is unacceptable and dangerous. So, there's frustration because people's livelihoods are on the line of whether there's games. People say it sort of derisively, like, oh, the league's just in it for money. Well, yeah, because if there's not a game, the teams and the guys on the teams don't get paid, right? So if there's not going to be a season, then people who have mortgages and work for teams and maybe aren't making a lot of money might be furloughed or might not have checks. So when there's blatant disregard for the rules that we know, if you follow, I would guess Seattle looks like they're following the rules, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Knock on wood if you're a Hawk fan, but they're not having a bunch of positions wiped out. So maybe these other teams should be doing that too, right?
Well, I think that's the thing is, listen, we all know, here's what we know about the virus. We don't know, right? I mean, if we knew more about the virus, then we would have been able to hopefully head it off in the past. You know, we're close to a vaccine, but, you know, in-home testing doesn't really exist and all those things. So it's still, there's still some unknowns out there. What we do know is what, you know, Pat Hanlon from the Giants said, and that is, in the NFL's case, you know, do everything you're supposed to do. And if something happens, then you know what? It happens. And you just, you know, that's the virus being the virus. We understand that.
Yep.
But when you're caught on, like, what is it, a video or a still shot with the quarterback room and guys weren't wearing masks. But isn't that a bigger issue? They weren't even supposed to be there, right? Because all those meetings are taking place remotely these days.
Yeah. Since they've gone to the intensive protocol, the meetings are supposed to be done remotely. I don't know that actually the details of that in their building, exactly what was seen on the video, but now they're talking, it's interesting, the team has actually shifted to talking about punishing the players themselves. Isn't that interesting? These are your quarterbacks. I mean, the quarterbacks to me, even though they don't have one of those $30 million a year ones, they're the ones that are held to the higher standard. I mean, they make the most money, they drive the fanciest cars, and they need to be the ones that are doing everything perfect at that position, right? I mean, wouldn't it be a terrible letdown if Russell Wilson was the one out there, you know, coming down with it because he violated the protocols or was going to parties or hanging out? I mean, it's just, that's the last place you want that to happen on your team.
Well, and I think that, you know, it will be interesting, yeah, because Vic Fangio, the coach, did say today that they're looking at other discipline, and I mean, listen, I can't even imagine how that's going to be because the rest of the team had to be on the field yesterday. And it was readily apparent from the very start that they were not going to win that football game. In fact, it felt even more apparent that I'm not sure, you know, would they be able to cross midfield? I mean, they run two Wildcats with Philip Lindsay, get about 20 yards, and then it just kind of stopped from there. And I can't imagine being a defensive player or, you know, an offensive lineman who's just getting teed off on the entire game. I mean, that's got to be brutal, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. You kind of have an appreciation for how hard it is to play quarterback, right, or just to play in the league. But, you know, they put a guy who has played college quarterback, but he goes out with no practice. I mean, it was kind of jarring to watch how quickly it can become a farce, you know, and I think, you know, the league has these. I was talking to actually a former GM today about where's that line between you got to play the games versus this shouldn't be something that anyone's subjected to, right? And I think you can tolerate the occasional game that the occasional Denver game is almost a curiosity, but you start having a lot of those, and then I think you got to reassess over whether it's viable.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, the big joke around the league, right, who had the worst quarterback play. Was it the Chicago Bears or was it the Denver Broncos over the weekend? So let's Mike Sando joining us from The Athletic. Let me switch over, and I'm glad you wrote about this because I was thinking the same thing. The Atlanta Falcons have gone 4-2 under an interim coach. They were 0-5 to start the season, but they're 4-2 under Raheem Morris. There is all the talk, and rightfully so, about hopefully increasing the pool of potential head coaches in the NFL and more minorities getting an opportunity and being looked at seriously. Eric Bieniemy is always at the top of the list. But as you pointed out, Raheem Morris at 4-2 should probably look at getting a second crack at it.
Yeah, I like second chances for people. You know, you often hear a retread or, you know, no creativity to it. But I think for general manager positions, head coach positions, if you have time in between the two jobs, like I think it's a mistake probably for Adam Gase to go from one situation right into another, right?
Right.
But if he had 7 years in between to really think about it and grow as a coach, I bet you he'd be a lot better the second time around. And I think for Raheem Morris, it'd be worth finding out because he's worked on both sides of the ball since he was with Tampa. And then a couple times when he's been given more authority, second half of last year, And then after Dan Quinn was fired this year, there's been good results on the field. And if you've ever been around him, you know, I think this is where we mis-evaluate candidates, right? We're always looking at how good was their offense, how big is their play call sheet. Those things are all related to how good your quarterback is and things you're not going to always be able to control. I think to really be a good coach, you look at the people that can communicate and lead. And if you've been around Raheem Morris for 5 minutes, I mean, he really does get you to believe. He's got a lot of energy to him. And so, heck, with these results on the field, I think that they need to look at him seriously in Atlanta.
And I'm with you with Adam Gase. Like, that one made no sense to anybody. In the case of Morris, having a time in between, working as an assistant again, getting an opportunity. If there weren't such things as second chances for coaches in the NFL, we wouldn't have Belichick and Carroll, right?
I mean, those yeah, absolutely. And any of us would be better the second time around of getting a chance at something, right? You would know, oh, man, if I would have only known this, right? You would, okay, next time I become a head coach, I'm definitely not going to have these two things happen. I'm hiring this guy, and we're putting someone in charge of this. And, you know, we'll go from there. So I think he's a great candidate. Doesn't fit the offensive play caller mold. But if you ever spend any time around him, you would see that that's kind of what, you know, leadership and energy feels like.
Mike Sando joining us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Brought to you by good friends at Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice Water, of course, out of Everett. You got the caffeinated and non-caffeinated Cascade Ices. Check them out in your local grocery store. One of us, me, I prefer the caffeinated, but it's up to you, caffeine or not. Gluten-free and sugar-free as well. Mike, we live in a world of, what is it? Is it 240 characters these days? 240, right? That's what Twitter is, 240?
Yeah.
It's characters and headlines. That's kind of the world we live in, and I get that. And you know, that's me being old man yelling at clouds. But along those same lines, the headline is Arians and Brady aren't getting along. The Bucks are done. Maybe more to it than that story.
Yeah, I do think that's a significant component of what's going on. Brady has a fully guaranteed contract for next year, so he's coming back. And if this thing goes sideways with Bruce Arians talking a little bit out of turn and that sort of thing, I do think that there could be an issue in the offseason. I do think that Brady has power there. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some sort of a change if they finish poorly. But, I mean, I think the thing you got to keep in mind with them is they have an easy closing schedule. They're going to play Atlanta twice, Detroit, Minnesota, all losing teams. If they go 3-1 from here, they get the 10 wins. Before the season, Vegas had them at 9.5. So I think we just need to remember they've lost a couple games to the Saints. They've lost to the Rams. They've lost to the Chiefs. Well, in their first go-around with, you know, trying to be on the same page when they're clearly probably not, Brady and Arians lost to those teams. But there's a couple three-point games in there, you know. So let's see how it goes from here. I think the off-season is when it'll be really interesting to see. Okay, what does Brady want, right? What does Bruce Arians want? But for now, they're really not that far behind schedule.
Matt Stafford, do you think he's going to be on the move after the year? Detroit making the moves this weekend with Bob Quinn, their GM, Matt Patricia, their coach, getting fired after that Thursday night loss. And a lot of places, you know, we talked about at the start of our show today. I mean, tonight's a great example. I mean, two teams. One knows who their quarterback is in Russell Wilson. The other one doesn't know who their quarterback is, and they thought they did a couple years ago in Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, a high draft pick. Finding a quarterback is hard in the NFL. Could Stafford be out in Detroit?
He could. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see what he thinks, right? Because not that he can trade himself, but we've seen before. I wrote about this to lead the Pick 6 column today on The Athletic. I see a big parallel with Carson Palmer. You know, I think Palmer, like Stafford, was drafted into kind of a bad organization, Cincinnati, Detroit, haven't won playoff games for years. And after a while, Palmer just got tired of it. Well, he was able to find a second life in Arizona, had a good career when he got with a team that was good on defense, that had, you know, good coaching. And I think you could see Stafford could clearly benefit from that. The thing I don't know is, you know, it took Palmer really forcing his way out and saying he wasn't going to play. I don't know if Stafford would do that, and I don't know if the Lions are bold enough to really make a big change. Or, you know, we'll see with kind of who they hire for coach and GM, but that will probably be the most telling thing. Are they willing to be patient, or do they feel like they have to win 8 or 9 games next year just because? You know, what's their priority?
Yeah, I you know, Stafford, he just That whole organization is just odd. But all right, let me before I go, I got a couple minutes before we have to get going. I want to just get a quick thought from you. Let's look at tonight's game. Seahawks, Philadelphia. Seahawks are a last I checked, something like a 6.5-point favorite, and Philadelphia scuffling along. Seattle looks like maybe its defense is getting better. What's your general overview of tonight's matchup?
Yeah, I think Seattle's is going to be better, and this is a great opportunity for them defensively against a really limited team that's had a hard time and makes mistakes, and there's a ton of pressure on Doug Peterson, maybe an increasing feeling he could be on his last legs. They're going to maybe out of desperation play Jalen Hurts more and mix it up. I think it's a great opportunity for Seattle to go in there and just sort of get the equilibrium for how they want to play the rest of the year, right? I mean, they want Chris Carson to be a part of it. They want Russell Wilson to throw the ball more than he has in the last couple of years. But they want it to kind of all come together and balance up. And to me, this is a good opportunity against a somewhat vulnerable team to just sort of build on the last game and show how we want to play. And look, it could be surprisingly difficult. Who knows? I mean, what they get out of Philly, they were expected to be better than they have been, but I don't really see any reason why the Seahawks shouldn't go out there and kind of play on their terms.
Be nice. Seattle just plays close games, though. Mike, I mean, even the last couple of years, it just seems like they play close games. They need to. How nice would it be for? I mean, Geno Smith needs some playing time, doesn't he? We keep hearing about Jalen Hurts getting some playing time. We need to see some Geno Smith playing time. We need to see one of those.
We need
to see like a Sunday Night Football from last. I know the network doesn't want this, but kind of a Sunday Night Football Part 2 from last night.
Absolutely. I think that would be an interesting thing to see is, Pete Carroll, I think, in the last game got a taste of what it was like before to sort of be in control, but it's kind of close and not as high scoring. For the most part, you're right. When they've had to score 38 or 35 points, the other team was scoring 30 or 31, right? Mm-hmm. So is this going to be one of those games where they sort of feel like, 24 points will win this thing, so you sort of play a 24-point game? I'm sort of with you. I think it'd be fun to see them break from that mold a little bit, but Pete looked pretty dang happy after that Arizona game, didn't he? That's sort of how he wants it to be. I mean, he was distraught after Ram game. Like, he didn't recognize his team. He was looking in the mirror. He didn't recognize himself. He wondered what the future of the world held, right? And, I mean, I've almost never seen him like that. Yeah. I mean, he was like, he had no answers. He was inconsolable. I mean, it was pathetic. Then after the Arizona game, he was high, man. He was like, woo, we rediscovered the formula. So I kind of feel like they're going to try to have that formula maybe for this game too, and maybe for the next few if you look at their games. But they should at least blow out the Jets. How about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they got Philly, then the Giants, Jets, Washington, Rams, and San Francisco to finish things off. I'm with you. I kind of wonder if that confusion, because I'm with you, there was that weird, despondent, what's going on here with the after that Rams game. But I wonder how much of that was he had back-to-back games in which Russell Wilson wasn't Russell Wilson. Like, he probably knew his defense was going to be struggling at times with all the injuries, and even going in without injuries, he probably knew they'd be struggling. But I kind of almost looked at that, Mike, like, well, I've always had Russell to bail us out. And Russell had two games where he didn't bail him out, wasn't able to bail him out. In fact, you can make the argument the Arizona game, the first loss on the 25th of October to Arizona, that was kind of on Russ with the three turnovers. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Does Pete come away thinking, hey, Russ reduced the mistakes because I pulled in the reins, so let's keep doing that. Does this give him sort of the upper hand a while in that equation,
That doesn't work for the Cook. That doesn't work for the Cook Index, though, man. That does not.
No, but they were still, even in the Arizona game, they were higher than they were higher towards the pass than they had been in past years. That would have been like their third highest pass rate last season. So, it's relative here. And they put up 28. It wasn't like it was 20-17.
No.
He put up 28 points a game. Shoot, they lead the league in scoring, so that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Mike, best, great stuff as always. The Athletic, theathletic.com. I know there's like a huge sale going on for The Athletic if you're not a subscriber yet for the holidays. And I would, you got a sports fan in your family. I mean, when I was growing up, my mom used to get me the SI magazine. Well, people don't get magazines anymore. Now, instead, I would say this. If you have a sports fan in your family, the Athletic subscription would be a great, great Christmas gift. You get Mike's information. We get Funson with Fantasy. Local guys covering the teams here. Then nationally, it's really good. So check out the Athletic.
You can get $1 a month. You can get $1 a month for 12 months for the rest of the day. That's pretty dang good.
That's really
good. Appreciate it.
That's really, and it's great, and you guys do a great job. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, man.
There you go. That is Mike Sando joining us from the Athletic. Let's get to it. Fact or fiction time. We'll be right back.
It's time for Fact.
Just a Fact Check! Just a Fact Check!
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
It is a fact!
Fact or Fiction is brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. It's the entertainment capital of the Northwest. This is our final week of Fact or Fiction. This is a bummer, man. Total bummer. Final week of Fact or Fiction starting right now. Basically, at 7:35, 11:35, 2:35, 3:35, you have a chance to agree or disagree with the host. And when you agree or disagree, then you text in Fact if you agree. Disagree, you text in Fiction to 49451. When we give you the pick, don't text yet. I'm telling this for all the new people. For the most part, thousands of you have been playing this every day, once, twice, maybe four times a day. You already know. Every week we give away $1,000. Actually, we don't. Emerald Queen Casino gives away $1,000. They just basically go to one of their slot machines, take out a grand, send it to you. It's as simple as that. $1,000 weekly prize. All you have to do to qualify for the weekly prize is be correct with one pick. The more picks you're correct with, the better chance you have to win. Jackson sitting. Kevin's got Kevin wears a lot of hats here. He's working on some other stuff behind the scenes. The Huskies changing basketball game times. It's not conducive to an assistant program director's work.
Not.
Just causes him great stress. Then Jackson and I have to listen to him yelling out in the sports pit, as we did earlier today.
Have the standings, though. I have everything going on right.
All right, give me a quick look at the standing. I know we were 1-2 last week, and I was 0-2.
Well, thankfully, the show that I work on, Safi and Dick, we over there were only 1-1 because Dick went +5 on the Ravens game. That hasn't been played. So as of right now, the standings have both our show, Safi and Dick, and you at 27-28, tied for second place. Chuck and Buck are number one, way out there at 31-26. And as I said earlier, the Puke Fest, that is the Puck and Slick show, they're at 24-31, bringing up the rear. So right now,
so they're three games behind you guys and us.
Yeah, but
there's no chance they catch
zero.
Us. Chance they catch us. All right.
But this is it. 1 week left for our show versus your show.
All right.
Here we go.
Well, I'm going to go with a theory. Even though the show from 10-1 has not had a lot of success, there's one thing I completely agree with them on. And that is, it really is un-American to ever bet the under. It makes no sense. You're betting for things not to happen. And if you play fantasy football, how often do you get to Monday Night Football and your team is done and the other guys have like one dude or two dudes and you spend the entire Monday night rooting for something not to happen, right? I hope Noah Fant doesn't catch three balls, right? You know, things like
that.
Like just random stuff. Like if Dallas Goedert catches four balls tonight, I lose the game. You're rooting for things not to happen. That's no fun. What you want to root for is things to happen.
Oh.
And in my case, I'm going to root for things to happen that have happened in all but two games this season. The Seahawks have played only two games this year, albeit the last two, but only two games this season in which they haven't had 50 or more combined points between them and the opponent. Over-under is 49, Jackson. And actually, the last game would have... The last game they played would have actually been a push because it was 26. or 2 games ago, it would have been 23-16.
Right.
Last 28-21.
Yeah.
So they basically play at 50 points or more every game except for one this year. Philadelphia is not good. Russell Wilson is good. Tyler Lockett, they have one corner. And if they decide, well, we're going to try to shut down DK Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
And we'll find out early. As Cosell said, you watch. First play of the game, they're going to probably put DK in motion, and you're going to find out is he covering him or not. If he is, that's fine. Tyler Lockett and company will have their way.
Yeah.
If he's not, it's going to be a shootout for the Seahawks. Carson and Hyde are both back. They're not great against the run. They're decent against the run. But Russell's going to air this thing out. The weather's supposed to clear right about kickoff time. So, and it's still kind of warm out there. It's like 60 degrees, kind of unseasonably warm. A little damp, that's fine. I think the Seahawks, and as much as their defense has improved, they'll still give up a couple here or there.
Really?
I am going over the 49. I'm rooting for things to happen, Jackson.
Okay.
I'm rooting for things to happen. So I'm going over 49.
I need a second to quickly text 49451 fiction. I'm also very, very happy about this pick because I am not working on your show officially, so I can tell Softy to take the under because I think you are wrong, Ian.
All right.
The Eagles are going to score 10 or less. The Seahawks are going to score about 30, and it's going to be way under 49.
Jackson, when was the last time that you saw and watched and enjoyed a Seahawk game where in the fourth quarter you put your feet up and lit up a victory cigar, Tony Softly style, and said, this thing's over?
See,
it never happens.
No, a couple times this year, Ian, because they give up a whole bunch of... See, I don't want to get too Dick Fanian here.
Don't Dick Fanian me.
I'm still pissed off at the defense for giving up the garbage time points. But nonetheless, the Niners game is a perfect example where at the start of the fourth quarter, I put my feet up, popped a beer, and said, okay, this is a win. And listen, it's happened a few times this year you've been at least a little comfortable. I think tonight is just going to be a little bit more comfortable than the rest.
The Niners were 1 2-point conversion away from making that really scary.
For sure, but I was still comfortable entering the fourth quarter.
All right. Well, your comfort level is different than my comfort level and most Seahawks fans' comfort level. All right. I'm going over 49, so Seahawks and Eagles will combine for 50 or more points. Over 49, fact 49451. Text that right now. Fact 49451. If you disagree, fiction 49451. Over 49, fact 49451. If you think it's going to be a lower scoring affair, which has only happened once this year with the Seahawks, that there's been less than 49 points, then you can text fiction to 49451. But I'm going fact. Fact, 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 fact. Root for things to happen, not like Jackson to root things not to happen. We'll check in with Softy next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right. Let's see here. In the midst of doing fact or fiction, which you might have a couple moments left, by the way.
You can still sneak it in.
49451 fact, if you want to root for something to happen, that would be the over 49 tonight. Seahawks and Eagles combined score. Do you think they're going to score more than 50 tonight?
I mean, the only...
Or 50 or more, I should say.
The only concern there is the Eagles suck.
Sure.
And I don't know for sure. We saw improvement from the Seahawks defense, and the Eagles are a mess on offense. So you might be relying on a lot of production from the Seahawks, which they should. Mm-hmm. I would text fact to this one. Mm-hmm. A little nervous. But I would text fact.
The Seahawks this season have had every game, with the exception of two, they have scored a combined 50 points or more with their opponent.
Yeah.
The one game, they had a 49-point game. And then the last game, obviously, was the lower-scoring game 2 games ago. So, but that's against the Rams, a little different deal. Everything else has been 49 or more points. So I think at the risk of sounding very Dick Fanish, maybe even some garbage time points, as Jackson pointed out, even though he wanted to text fact or wanted to text fiction.
Well,
even as he pointed out, even the Niners game, we're 2-point per conversion away. You never put your feet up and have a smoke like a Tony Softly cigar at that point. You never do that with the Seahawks team. You just don't do it. Every game's one possession or less. That's just the way it works. And that'll be the case again tonight. What'll happen is they might be blowing their doors off, and Seattle might be up 35-10.
Give up some garbage time.
And guess what's going to happen?
Dick Fane garbage time.
Jalen Hurts is going to come in and run wild, and they're going to take KJ and Bobby out, and you'll see BBK actually play a defensive snap. You could see Cody Barton play a defensive snap.
Could see some points scored then,
and
folks.
Yeah, Barton, you see 57 and 55 at linebacker, and all of a sudden Jalen Hurts is going to cause all kinds of quarterback controversy in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
And the end of the day, you're going to look up and go, wow, 55 points were scored. I should have texted fact to 49451.
Seahawks can intentionally pour gas on the fire that is the Philadelphia Eagles situation.
All right, before we go, Softy's not going to be in here for crosstalk. We'll check in with him tomorrow. He's coming up at 3 o'clock. Do we now have a triple header? Next Monday night,
next Monday night, we have a triple header. So the already scheduled San Francisco Buffalo game, that's next Monday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
That was scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas and Baltimore had already been moved to be played on Monday. So we were going to have a doubleheader with Dallas, Baltimore, and then San Francisco, Buffalo. Well, there's another team that has to play on Wednesday now, apparently. So the Washington football team will now play Pittsburgh also on Monday. Ian, that's three National Football League games being played on a Monday.
We have no idea times or networks or anything like that.
Well,
right?
we know the I could bring it up here. We know that they are, as of last time when there were just two games, mm-hmm. we knew that the time was going to be normal for the late game. They were going to be kicking off at 5:15 like always,
mm-hmm.
and we also knew that the other game was going to be 5 p.m. Eastern, so 2:00 Pacific.
Right. They're not going to play a game before 5:00 Eastern.
I don't think so.
This is a TV-driven league. Like, I can't imagine them playing a game before.
But the problem is, Ian, none of those games are East Coast or West Coast.
No, is Buffalo at Buffalo's on the road? Buffalo and the Niners.
Oh shoot! Is it? Is that?
I think it's in Arizona. Isn't
that's
it?
Right. That's in Arizona.
So you could play that game late. You could play that.
Yeah.
Game
okay. So they could push that to.
Well, you're going to have to because ESPN. Kevin, ESPN didn't pay for Monday Night Football rights to have competition going head to head with it.
Yeah. I wonder what with that, because would they move one to just be a local broadcast?
Oh,
because they've done that.
Well, you know what they did? I don't know, and I know we're going to get out of here in a second. I don't know if you noticed this. That game, one of those Saturday games, it's the Rams and the Cardinals. No, the Niners and the Cardinals towards the end of the year.
Okay.
I think it's on December 26th. I believe that's the game. It's two NFC West teams. I think it's Rams Cardinals. That's an Amazon only game.
Yeah.
And people are pissed. And you know what? Kind of rightfully so. Because if you don't have Amazon Prime, right? Now, I would just say this. If you're in Seattle and you're a hockey fan, you might want to figure out how to do it because that's probably where you're going to watch the Kraken play. So,
yeah, I mean, have.
We can talk about that later on in the week. But I think if you're going to do that, then that needs to be like the Broncos and Chargers. That's what that needs to be. Like a game that doesn't have any kind of playoff ramifications. Now, maybe by then, both the Cardinals and Niners will be out. Who knows? All right, that's it. We're done. We got to get out of here. Fly, Eagles, fly. How you feeling tonight?
Oh, it's not going to be good. Ron Jaworski is going to be on with Softy and Hugh in the next show.
Jaws, how about that?
How about that? He's calling the game for Western 1, which you can't hear because you're in Seattle. But if you'd like to hear from Ron Jaworski, he will be on between 3 and 5 p.m. with Dave Softy Mueller and Hugh Miller.
Don't forget post-game tonight with Slick and Company all over the place.
It's
Twitter, Periscope, everything like that. See ya.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.